Welcome to Take a Pause with me, Varun Dugirala. You know, oftentimes a lot of us share the journeys we've been through, right? It would be the journey we've been through in life, in our careers, on a specific project, like it was for me to write my book, and so many other things. And I recently went on the Ranveer show. I spoke to Ranveer about all these journeys that I've been through over the last 40 years and how that translated into my book. And I thought I'll share that with you guys today for you to kind of consume and hopefully give you some points to kind of soak in, some points to reflect on in your own lives and give you some form of value.
Anyway, Mr. Dugi,
yes.
The last section of today's conversation. So we call this bombs of emotion tentatively.
Mm-hmm.
In bombs of emotion, the guests that we have on the show are just going to share whatever's been up in life and your hyper recent learnings, a little bit more from sort of an overall perspective. It could be career, it could be your emotions, it could be your family life. So because you're coming out of this book, even a book is kind of like an outlet of years of emotions that are pent up.
Yeah.
So what's been happening in the mind?
So book's been an interesting journey, right? I kind of started writing it last March. Took about 8 months to write a book. Felt like the longest creator project ever, because normally stuff happens much faster, but I've been told that books get written over a longer period of time than 8 months. But I kind of started off with the thought process saying, what would I have wanted to know and learn when I was 21, now that I'm almost 40? And I sat down and I realized that there are a bunch of things that education teaches us. You see, you know, education prepares you for the world, for your career, for your life, but lots of stuff happens to you in your life and you learn things. So I said, can I almost distill that down to, you know, just like different chapters, different sections. And I realized there were five things that you don't necessarily, you never taught you, but you learned, right? You never taught how to start things. You always said the starting line, people say start, but how do you start? What do you kind of think about? How do you kind of make choices in life? How do you learn? You get into education, but how do you learn? How do you, you know, connect with other people? How do you, like, when you walk into a workplace, how do you kind of connect with your colleagues? If you're in college, how do you kind of connect with your classmates? And how do you reflect, which I think is the most important thing we never talk about, is how do you reflect with yourself? Right. So I then broke this down and I realized as I went back to stories from my life, and initially I was like, okay, I didn't want to write a memoir because I'm like, I've not had an extraordinary life, but I've had an interesting life. So I realized there were smaller stories which gave me a lot more insight than big events in my life. So the book doesn't talk about, okay, having built a company, having sold it, hasn't spoken about big instances. It speaks about small incidents that gave me so much insight in hindsight. So last year for me was a lot of reflection because I actually went back like last 20 years and even longer and really thought about things that happened to me. And because I've been consuming so much around not just personal development, but really learning everything from mental models to understanding some parts of neuroscience, which I now finally find interesting. I'm like, why weren't we taught neuroscience this way? Kind of getting into that and kind of built it into a book. So that's actually been my, last year has been a great process for me. Like I've had so much reflection time, but like for me, this, like, I also know that now writing is going to be my prime thing beyond podcasting because I enjoy it so much. Like I have an idea for two more books. And my publisher said, hold on, let this come out. But I know I'm going to be writing for life because I think when you write and you reflect on what you're learning, it gives you far deeper insights than, let's say, anything else.
Yeah, it's one of those habits that a lot more people should adopt to.
Yeah.
Because as a writer, I've seen what it does to my head. It is a form of meditation. It is a form of you basically puking out all your emotions on paper and then realizing,
it's like journaling.
Oh, this is what's in my mind.
Yeah.
But it's not spoken about enough. And I feel like as school students, you should kind of be forced into that habit. Just write what you're feeling. Has your crush rejected you?
Yeah.
Has your teacher shouted at you and embarrassed you in front of the class today? Have your friendships broken?
Yeah.
Just writing that as a teenager was extremely therapeutic. And I wish someone had told me that when I was like 11, 12 years old. Because I had a very negative relationship with writing because of essay writing where you're told to write in the confines of rules. You write about your day at the beach or what. I don't give a Like, I want to write about these robotic designs I saw in Dexter's laboratory.
Yeah.
But writing is at the forefront of your emotional learnings.
Also because I realized there were random, I've done a lot of random things in life. You know, sometimes you talk about, when you read these books, you people talk about really like impactful things. But for me, I realized I've done like because I grew up in a small town on the coast of Andhra Pradesh. Half family doctors, half family engineers. tried to become a, I wanted to be a computer engineer because I still love to code, ended up in mechanical engineering. But I moved from a small town to Bangalore and suddenly went through this point when I went from this confident kid to being this person who felt like I didn't fit in. I knew less than everybody else. Everything from like fashion sense was off, everything was off. So suddenly went like full back, like walk, stand at the back of the crowd because I don't want to be in the limelight, don't want to get into that. I also wore the cool chain from Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, which I think was a bad idea in hindsight. And so I went through a period in Bangalore where it was just like one bad thing after another. Didn't finish my engineering on time. Worked as an alcohol promoter for a couple of companies, worked in a call center for many months. By fluke, got into MassCom. I actually written about that. Actually, by luck, I got into SIMBI for MassCom because the weird part is that I was working this call center where I was doing 2 a.m. to 9 a.m. calls for AOL cancellation. So people in America would call and like want to cancel their internet connection.
Talk in an accent.
Yeah. So we were taught a new. So I was like, "Hi, I'm Doogie. I talk to AOL." And they said Doogie. That's where Doogie started, by the way, because I would say Doogie as in Doogie Howser. Mm. And that became a way to start a conversation with someone I didn't know. And I would reference the show and they would. And like I've dealt with everything from tech problems to different nationalities, different, you know, social strata. So that was interesting. I think I learned how to talk to and sell to different kinds of people during those, 3 to 6 months when I did that. But what was super interesting right after that is I wrote this entrance exam and somehow managed to get in by answering only 2 sections out of 5 in the entrance exam. Because my punt was that it's for all all colleges under the university. Why will MassCom need stats? Let me answer just 2 sections. But I took that punt and I got through, but that was for round one. I said that luck happens to you multiple times in your life. But what's most important is what you do right after luck happens. Mm. So after that, I made a choice. I finally have a chance in life now to do something, because till then I was a guy who had never been able to succeed at anything, right? Always had failed, not done well. Parents had to kind of get me into college, get me into school and all that stuff. So I kind of made that choice at that time, saying, if you don't turn around now and kind of say, I got to make something of myself, you're never going to. So it's like luck gives you like almost a way to get in through the door, but your work makes you stay. So for me, that point was very important. Also, like, I've been this mixture of person who's supremely confident and extremely shy. So I'm still very wary of the stage because I failed at a fancy dress competition when I was in 3rd standard on stage, right? I bombed on stage. I went on stage, looked at the mic, saw the crowd and said, "Mommy, I don't want to." And I ran off crying, right? Never got back on stage for 20 years because I was scared. But when I thought back on it, I kind of realized that even me becoming an entrepreneur was a connection to that, is that when you map out what's the worst that can happen, it's easier for you to take that call to do it, because sometimes the worst doesn't seem that bad unless you leave it imaginary, right? Like, what's the worst? Like, I remember me and Rohit sat down and said, what's the worst that can happen? We'll go look for jobs.
Mm. Yeah.
And we had done a decent amount of work to say that, okay, someone will give us a job. Mm. So let's take 3 months and do that. So almost like map out, because most times people say, fight fear. But I'm saying, no, put down what you fear the most. Yeah. Will happen at the end of this.
Right.
And that never seems that bad. Yeah. And I actually do that very often. I sit down and say, what's the worst that'll happen if I take this call today?
Yeah.
And once you do that, I've also spoken about like being a father, like even about fitness, right? Like why my focus towards fitness has an entirely different story to it. I always enjoyed going to the gym because all of us want to be gym bros. It's always a thing. You want to have those big muscles. You want to do all of that stuff. I remember our daughter was born and I used to feel tired carrying a baby around. And this is like 2017, 2018. And I would have biceps and I would have all those things, but I was still a little more puffed up. And I remember that Pooja said, what's the point of having muscles if you don't have the stamina for it, right? And so I kind of flipped and started to do everything that, like today she's 15 odd kilos. I can still carry her in one arm. Mm. And I'm like, I want to be able to carry her in one arm when she's 30 kilos.
Mm.
Right. And for me, I'm like, I want to be fit for what life wants me to do. Like I want to go surf and have my core strong enough that I can surf for hours together, which I did. And I enjoyed it. So yeah. So I just kind of put down these things because I feel that we talk about very broad, serious things, but these smaller things, like like what you kind of go through in life, which I think a young person today battles with, right? How do I get into an organization and kind of make my mark in an internship? How do I kind of build friendships? How do I find a mentor? All of that stuff. So that's what I kind of like really dug into.
I think what you're basically doing is this quote that I read, which is that try being the person you needed around when you were younger.
Exactly.
That's what you're doing through all your content.
Exactly. Yeah.
As well.
In most, I think that's the best way to describe it. Yeah. I also call myself a midlife crisis creator because I became a creator at the age of what, 36?
What should we keep in mind for our 30s, dude? Like, what do you expect for 30s as someone in their 20s?
Your 30s are actually when you're doing the groundwork for the rest of your life, to be honest. Yeah, I think the 20s are about mad experimentation of what you can kind of, and I think it's a lot of fun because you're really figuring out where you're at. 30s are actually most foundational period because you are building some form of stability in your life. You're also, it's not about saying, oh, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. You're building the things that will make you be able to do whatever you want once you're 40.
Like, you're saying you're building like finances?
Financial security, yeah, you're building life security, right? Like, I'm very happy to be a person with a family today because that's something which I know I will cherish in the long term because I love the fact that I have a family. And that's why for me, that's so important. Like for me, like Pooja, Leia, like they're like supreme importance for me to hold that relationship, give that importance because I know for a fact that all the other things will come and go. I mean, this is like my close group. This is the group that's going to be with me in the long term. And I need to do right by them. And as they would expect that of me, I expect that of them as well. I think that's important. If you take your close family as that one central part, and take your close friends that way. Like through my 30s, my friends are still the guys I used to hang out with since college. Same bunch of guys, we all hang out. It's still the same bunch. But invest in those relationships. And once you're 40, your life is in a solid position. Your money scene is in a solid position. That's when you can actually experiment. That's when you can actually try out stuff. Like you want to launch another business venture. You want to go out and you want to be a creator. You want to be a writer. You want to suddenly go and say, no, I want to just like backpack through the world. I think people in their 40s and 50s can actually backpack through the world a lot with a lot more ease.
There's also less f- given about what people are saying about
exactly,
you.
Exactly, right. You're not worried about that. And also, you also realize what you shouldn't do. And I feel that 20s, you're understanding what you shouldn't do. Like, you will not have a blacked out day because you've drunk too much the night before. Because as an older person, like, let me sleep by 11. So I'll wake up in the morning to actually enjoy the sunrise. Because that's actually the most beautiful thing ever. Right. I think some of those things you learn as well.
What about your friends? And this is the last question of the show, but it's something we've been discussing a lot. We've been discussing not getting married because of who we are in the moment. And we've also said that maybe that'll change, especially if the right people come our way.
Yeah.
But right now, in this very like, let's just be like how we are now in the long term.
Yeah.
Like we're seeming to get peace from our life right now.
Yeah.
I'd like to know about people who've not chosen to get married. From your viewpoint, what's their life like?
I have a lot of friends who, for instance, don't want to get married, don't want to have kids, everything else. And I think you all make your choices basis what you want your life to be when you're older.
Are they happy?
They're all happy. I think they're all fine. I think the whole point is this, that you need to take those calls. That's why your 30s are interesting, right? You're taking those calls. You're taking a call saying, this is what I want to be when I'm like 50, when I'm 60. This is what the kind of life I want to have. And whatever call you take, it's never too late. I think the kids part becomes a little trickier if you don't have kids before you're 40, because then like you get much older by the time the kids grow up. But beyond that, you need to decide who are the people I want around me, what will be most important to me when I'm like 50. And in most cases, those are the simplest things in life. They're never like, okay, it's not about that big car you want. It's not about that house you want to buy. It's about who are those people sitting around that dining table when you're all hanging out on a Sunday evening. Those don't just have to be wife and kid. Those can be friends you hang out with all the time. Those can be people who are around you all the time. So you need to kind of build that table. If you build that dining table for yourself in life, and that's what I've realized. Like, I think the last 2 years has also been a lot of soul searching about what do I really want to do for the next decade of my life. And that's actually been it. I want to fill that table with people who I will also value and also invest in. Like, I want to be there for them because I know that they've been there for me as well. And then everything else comes with, and it's not about, it's not like you want to make money. You will still build businesses. You will still do all of that stuff. Like I'm not going to be suddenly go off to the hills. I don't think I will ever do that. But I want to invest in that table.
That's a very interesting perspective.
Yeah, left us with some thought tangents, Mr. Doogie. Thank you. Finally, we're doing this episode.
I'm so happy we did this, man. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
This is the first ever podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and we've been planning this since literally the first time we met, which is pre-lockdown.
Yeah.
Which is like right after Priyanka Chopra,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So it's been just a lot of delayed schedule, but I'm glad it happened at this point because I feel I've also grown up a bit as compared to what I was back then.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mr. Doogie.
Thanks for having me, man.
You've been a part of that growing up through your podcast and just being around us as...
Absolutely.
Like we look, you're the Saurav Ganguly to our UV and Harbhajan. That's what I will say.
Not Saurav Ganguly to Virat Kohli then. That's a whole different problem.
But thank you, Mr. Doogie. Everything is out of syllabus. The book is out now. We're going to link it down below, Mr. Doogs.
Thanks, man.
So thank you. Thanks, you, brother. Looking forward to having you again on the show.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Would love to come back.
Love it.
Thank you so much for listening in to Take a Pause with me, Varun Dugirala. Hit subscribe and tune in for a bite-sized episode every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Plus, our twice-a-month deep dive chat episodes with some truly interesting people. To be a part of my early draft community, subscribe to my newsletter or follow me at the rate Varun Doogie across Instagram, YouTube and all other social platforms. Now, get back into the chaos and I'll see you in a couple of days.